I want to preach this morning, and God laid this on my heart yesterday, and it's just really down in there. And I may preach on this for three or four times at different times, but I want to read in 1 Peter chapter 5, beginning with verse 1, reading a few verses down. Now, I want to talk to you about the relationship between the shepherd, the pastor, the elders, and the sheep, the relationship. I hope you'll really get into this, because this is the most important thing that we can have, is the right relationship between everybody concerned. And listen to what it says here. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1. The elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. Peter said he's also an elder. Of course, we know who he was. He was an apostle too, but that's an elder. And a witness of the suffering of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight, but willingly, taking the oversight, not by constraint, but willingly, not having to take it, just take it willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither be ye lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, now that's the chief, how many knows who the chief shepherd is? That's Jesus Christ. See, I'm the shepherd, to speak, an under shepherd or an elder, pastor, whatever I am. But then he is the chief shepherd. I've got to listen to him. I've got to hear what he's got to say. It's not interesting too much what people's got to say. It's what he's got to say. And it says here, let's listen to it. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Likewise, ye younger, talking about the younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all, how much is all? That's it, ain't it? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. For he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto an eternal glory in Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a little while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Now, let's go to work on this just a little bit here. We're talking about the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ. We talk about the elders, which is pastors and then deacons and on down to the sheep. And how many knows what the main purpose and the main thing in a shepherd's heart? See, I have to have a shepherd's heart. If I'm going to be following him, I got to have him, and he's the chief shepherd, ain't he? So I have to have him here to lead. These people that you see come in here, and Brother Andy and different ones that's been down to campground, and they see this power and the moving of God that goes on down there. And when they come in here, they're rejoicing and shouting. And they're examples of what's happened after they've been taught and received the teaching and fall in the place where God wants them. Then they become soul winners. Now, how many knows that the shepherd or the pastor or the elders, they're not the one that begets sheep? Huh? The church has got it all wrong. I'm not the one that begets sheep. How many know who gets sheep? Sheep. So the sheep in the congregation, they're the ones, they should have a burden for someone. They should win somebody to God. Then they should bring them and set them under an elder that knows what to do with them, that raise them up as a powerful group of people that knows God, that's able to do what God wants them to do, that can get the vision, that can get full of the Word of God, full of the power. How many knows I'll just give you one thing what the shepherds in the old country done to protect the sheep. Now here's a shepherd. I want you to get the picture of this. Here's a shepherd out there in the field, and he's got a flock of sheep. And this has to be in a shepherd's heart that I want to protect you first. I want to feed you first. Then you can break it when you go out. You can feed somebody when you go out. But I want to feed you. I want to protect you. I want to shelter you. I want to fight for you. Jesus gave his life. That has to be in the heart of any good pastor, any shepherd. Not to tear things up, but protect you. And there's certain things when we do to protect that people don't like and don't understand. But I want you to understand that that is the purpose of a good pastor or a good apostle, a prophet or a teacher or whatever that is, to protect, to feed, and keep feeding, keep protecting. Now, they train their sheep like this. They've got a flock out there. And in this flock is a whole bunch of some big rams. And in the flock is some little lambs. And in the flock is some ewes. How many knows that? It has all size denominations of sheep in that flock. Now, they're trained for something. And here's what they're trained to do. Now, I want you to draw a circle right up here. Let's just draw in your mind a circle. Now, there's wolves out there. How many knows in the desert? There's something that wants to feed upon the sheep, and what they really want most is the lamb. And remember, when Jesus was born, Herod had all the little babies killed so they might get Jesus. When Moses was born, Pharaoh down in Egypt, he had all the babies killed because they realized there was one in there was going to turn out to be something that they didn't want. Now, here we got all these sheep out here, and there's a wolf out there, and he's going to come in, and he's going to grab a little lamb. You know how they're trained to do? Maybe it's on the other side of the flock. Maybe it's several hundred yards out there to where they're at, where that one is. And these big rams, they form a circle. They back up towards one another, and they form a circle. They're trained that way. And you know why they form a circle? Because all the littler ones and the weak ones are going to get inside that circle. That means this, that each one of those rams are really saying or doing is you got to come through me to get a lamb. Every board member in a church, every deacon in a church, every elder in the church should be that way. You've got to come through me to get that lamb. You can't get it unless you come through me. But the real purpose of it is they know that the wolf is powerful. And when he comes close, a couple of those rams butts him, sails him out there. And what they're really doing, they're holding the wolf off until what? Till the shepherd can get there. When the shepherd gets there, he'll deal with the wolf. And they're holding that off, and he can't get to a lamb because of these rams. They're going to fight. You know, they're trained. They're elders in the crowd. It's kind of like the way it should be in the church. We're going to fight. We're not going to let no lambs go to slaughter. We're not going to let the wolf get a lamb. That has to be in the heart. And we have to get this transplanted from Jesus Christ himself. He got it from the Father, and the Father gave it to him, and he gave it to his elders in the church, that we might protect, that we might feed, that we might take care, that we may shelter the sheep. Did you ever hear that before? Did you know that before? No. But that's the way they train them. So they're trained. Now, it said when the chief shepherd gets there. He's there. He's out there. He can't get there yet. The wolf has picked out a bunch of them over there, quite a ways from him, because he knows when he can't bypass the shepherd of the sheep. So there he is. That's one of the things we have to get it in our heart, that we're going to protect every Christian that's really a Christian. Now, Bobby taught on what a Christian should act like, and he said, now, how many thinks that that's the way a Christian ought to act? I do, but everybody's not a Christian that says they're a Christian. They won't take training. They won't sit under nobody. They won't pray. They're unfaithful to church. They're unfaithful to this and unfaithful to that. And it takes faithfulness to come out like some of these. I've worked with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of them through the last 55 years. And I've seen some come out good and some come out bad. But the good ones are really good ones. They're always powerful ministers. God ordains them to be powerful Christians, elders in the church, deacons in the church, board members or whatever, that God deals with them to be a powerful Christian, because they have to be. How many thinks you need a lamb as a deacon? That won't work. It's got to be a big sheep, a big elder. Now, let's go back over here. We're going to do some teaching on this as time goes by. And I'd like to go back to St. John chapter 10. I want to once again get this in your heart. What is the number one thing? Number one thing is to get people saved, and that's the congregation's job. You see, most churches think that the pastor's supposed to win all the souls, and then when they get in there, they do the teaching to them. No, it's the other way around. The people just wins the souls and brings it into the ordained man of God that's able to teach them. Ain't that the proper way? Wouldn't that be the way it ought to be? And that is the way it is. So I want to just keep on bringing this in, that the main purpose is, number one, to win souls. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that wins the souls is what? Is wise. How many wants to be wise? Get out there and win some souls. You'll make a wise ram. You'll make a wise sheep. You'll make a powerful sheep if you win souls. Then these souls have got to be taught. They've got to be cared for. And that has to be that the first purpose is to take care of the sheep. They're not an elder. Come on. Can you say amen? All right. Let's read this here. St. John 10, verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth in not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up another way, the same is a thief and robber. Now, what's he saying here? Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door, if he don't come in the door, into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. Now, if he just comes up some other way. Now, we're going to find out what the door is. You got to go through the door. Let's talk about that. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. So he that entereth in by the door, he didn't come up some other way. He didn't come up for some other purpose. He didn't come up for this and that and something else. He came up, he has a shepherd's heart, beginning with the chief shepherd, which is Jesus Christ, and the other under-shepherds, which are apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, which are elders in the church. These are under-shepherds, under Jesus Christ. And it says, he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. How many thinks that we have to enter through the door? We have to. If you got a leader, you're going to have one that's come in the right way, that has the right purpose, that has you in their heart. Not deceiving you, but you. I don't want you just on my side. I'm interested in you and me and me, my wife, and all of you having a good relationship with one another. And that'll get a hold of people out yonder that needs God. Our relationship. He that comes through the door is a shepherd. The first thing that you have to believe, I'm either of God or the devil. Huh? That's what you have to believe. Now, is it the devil that healed Cody? Is it the devil that blesses you, the tears streaming down your face and you've shouted around here? Is that the devil that saved people like Sister Griffith and different ones? They said, no, that's not, that's God. And that's the purpose. As long as we stay on that purpose, everybody will be rejoicing and happy and having a good time in the Lord. And that's what makes people hungry to come in and repent and get their lives straightened out and do things right instead of beating around the bush about everything. Somebody said, and I'll go right back again, I do love everybody. But a shepherd has to watch out for you. For you. I'm interested in your soul. She's interested in your soul. The elders and teachers, Bobby's interest, he wouldn't teach that kind of a message if he wasn't interested in people's soul and how a Christian should act. So here we find it says, but he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, how'd he come in? Verse 3, to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth on his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. Now, how many got that? Look at what happens. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. Now, the porter opens, he's coming through the door, and the sheep hear his voice. How many knows that every minister's voice should be the voice of the Lord? Our voice should be his. Romans chapter 10, verse 14. How can they hear without a preacher? Every preacher has to have the voice of the Lord. Now listen what he says. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name. Now that makes a real strong relationship between the leader and the shepherd or the pastor and the people, because he knows them by name. He's personally acquainted with them by name. And also he's personally acquainted spiritually with them. He knows just exactly who is going to really get in and do something and who's not. But he don't tell everybody that. He just knows that. See, we're required not to tell everything we know. We're required of God to be a shepherd and to try to help the person that has a need, the sheep that the wolf is after. Now, listen to what it said. He calleth his own sheep by name and leads them out. Now, where's he leading them out to? And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. They know the voice of the Lord. They know. I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about the real pastors, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, teachers, whatever they are, and the real people that's board members, and the people that's deacons. The sheep know their voice, if they're sheep. But let's look at the next thing. And the stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. So now what is that? That doesn't mean just somebody stranger come by. That means a strange voice. It's not the true voice. It's not the voice of Jesus. It's not the voice of the minister that's anointed of Jesus. A stranger, they won't hear because it's a strange voice. Now, what kind of a strange voice would that be? Huh? That's a voice of trouble. Huh? You see, I'm not interested in telling you trouble. I'm interested in telling you something that'll help you. Our interest is not that. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice. Now, listen to this. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. Then said Jesus unto them, listen to it, verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. He said, now I'm the door. You got to come through the door, and I'm the door, and you have to come that way. But any person that comes up any other way is a thief and a robber if you go any other way. How many knows there's just one way? John 14:6 said, Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Somebody said, I want a message that makes me feel good and makes me rejoice. This is it right here. If we do what God's word said, you'll rejoice. You'll have the power of God in your life. You'll feel the presence of the Lord. When you read the Bible, it'll illuminate to you, and the power of God will rest upon you and be within you. And then we'll be either bigger sheep, protectors. How many knows what those rams are? Those rams are protectors. How many's got that vision still in you? That circle, and here's a ram. He's not looking at the sheep in the circle. He's looking at the wolf out there, and another right beside him. And when that wolf comes in, two of them will buddy, and they hold him off until the shepherd gets there. When the shepherd gets there, then the wolf flees. The shepherd. Who's the shepherd? Jesus Christ is the shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. When he shall appear, things happens when he appears, don't they? So let's look here a little further. Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. Verse 8, he tells us again, all that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. So what's he saying? Stop your ears up to confusion. Stop your ears up to people that's trying to kill. Trying to kill what? The message, the ministry, the church. That's what it is. And then examine that person and say, what would they do if they were the shepherd? What kind of a church would this be if they were the shepherd? Would it have power in it? Would people get gloriously healed? Would people be born again? Would people get filled with the Holy Ghost? It's something to ask ourselves. Verse 9, he said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Now, we've been preaching about the decision and then have decided and then defining things. There's very few people that I know of today, not a whole lot of them anyway, that can define the devil. Well, is that the devil? Well, if they're speaking wrong things, it's the devil. Who else could it be? There's only two spirits, Satan's spirit and God's spirit. God's spirit is life through his son, and Satan's spirit is death. It kills. They may not realize what they're doing, but they're killing, destroying. So the next verse tells us that. And Jesus said, he said, now I want you to go back through that again. He said, I'm the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. That's what I like to see people go in and out and find pasture. Be saved. Have an experience with God. That is the whole purpose of this. The whole purpose of me being here and my purpose is not just to pastor this church. I've got hundreds of I could pastor if I wanted to, but I don't want to. I want to be where God wants me, and I would like to see something done in this church that would send a revival down in this community like I've seen in times past when whole towns nearly, the power of God would be get into them and people get saved, families get saved, and all kinds of that. The interest, it's not in this building, it's not in this piece of land. It's not in anything like that. It's in getting people saved. That is the burden of the heart of Jesus Christ. It's the burden of the heart of any true pastor. And it's also the burden in the heart of any true Christian. How many believes it's well to see people saved? You know, I wept when Sister Glory came down there to the altar that day. I don't know what all she done, but she dedicated her something. You've got a hold of God. And I've seen her times past sit back there and mop some tears. That makes me know God's touching her heart. See, tears is from the heart. God doesn't want us to be dry-eyed. It says, he that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again, rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Now, do they comfort you when you're in trouble? Do they help you out when you're in trouble? Yeah, that's why it's all in it. But the main thing is to win the lost. Or have somebody that needs a touch from God. Now, here is the identification of the devil and the Lord. In one verse, you don't have to read all over the Bible. I want to say this too. You don't have to be a rocket scientist to be a powerful Christian. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. You don't have to be a walking Bible. I don't do the quote scriptures just to put on. I just picked them up from 55 years of traveling on the road, and I've run them through my mind so much that I know right where they are, and if I ever get a start on it, I can go on with it. That's because of the many, many years that I've put in. There ain't no telling how many thousands of people I've seen saved and healed and delivered and set free. I mean, some powerful things, and I want to see that again. I'm not seeing it anywhere anymore. How many things God took a vacation? Well, guess what? If you don't believe that God took a vacation, I'll tell you who took a vacation. The church has took a vacation. No longer do we get the burden down in our heart. You know, a lot of preachers get up here and preach you down, but I'm not preaching you down. I'm preaching that you can get up and that you can be strong. You can be a powerful Christian. You can win souls. You can lay hands on the sick and they'll recover. You can do things that you don't even realize you can do when you once get this spirit. Now listen to what it said in verse 10. The thief. Now he said, anybody comes through that door any other way is a thief. And he's a robber. Now verse 10, he identifies the thief. The thief cometh not but for to steal. Number one, he'll steal your victory. How many times have I seen this in churches and revivals, and then right here in this church? Somebody come to that altar and get set on fire and go home and get a telephone call from somebody that told them all kinds of bad things and all kinds of things, and they come back and lost their victory. How many knows what happened? What was that voice of? That was the voice of a thief. And the thief what? Steals? My burden is I don't want the thief to get anything you've got. Not one word, Andy. I don't want the thief to steal one word from you. And you can lose it by listening to folks that's already lost it years ago, and they need to get back to God. And the way they need to come is through the door. I'm talking about Jesus, not through that door. You know, a lot of folks think, if I could just get through that door doesn't mount to a hill of beans. It's coming through the door of Christ. And any man comes any other way, he's a thief and a robber. He's stealing. See, I'm responsible for this church, the people. I'm responsible to preach you the right thing. Not just responsible to you, I'm responsible to God. And every preacher that steps behind that pulpit is responsible to God. And we finally got into that teaching on identification. So here's identification of who the thief is. Verse 10, the thief cometh not but for to steal. Number one, if he's a stealing from you, he's a thief. Number two, if he kills your spirit out and kills your ambition to go to church and does that, that'd be just like taking a gun and shooting you. Because a man is a spirit, a soul, and a body. So I'd rather, you know, I don't want to see nobody steal a person's experience. Huh? I had some people say one time, and they got out and talked to somebody, and they said, are you sure you got saved? I know I got saved. How do you know you got saved? And they talked and they talked and they talked to this person. And then another got the Holy Ghost and said, are you sure you got the Holy Ghost? And they put seeds of doubt in those people's mind, and they killed out what was sown in their heart. See, every message I preach here, it's on tape. And finally, it's put in book forms and different things that we can teach other people, things like that. And so to kill and to steal. Now, the next identification of the devil is that he destroys. The thief cometh not but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. Now, what does those people need? They need to get down on their knees, repent of their sins, and make restitution for things. I'm talking about a multitude. This whole nation's full of people like that. Huh? They once knew God. Facts of the matter is, our nation once knew God. It was called a godly nation. I don't believe it would define as a godly nation anymore. President Obama said it's not a Christian nation. He says that. I don't know if he's able to define anything or not. He hasn't defined much so far. So defining what the devil is. Now let's define who Jesus is. Jesus says, now I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Let me tell you about life and more abundant. Some of the greatest times that I've ever had is getting with two or three guys that really knows the Bible and everything, and we impart life to each other. I'll tell you what, we just talk. There's been days in my office down there at Donovan that I go in, and I just had that unction to minister to the office help. I gather them all in the office, and I start talking about the Lord. That, you know, the workload was big, and they begin to feel heavy laden and all those kind of things. And after a while, they just lightened up and even sat there and bawl and squall, and I'd bawl and squall with them, and we just have a good time in the Lord. Now, that's imparting life to people. Get somebody you can talk to. Tell them something good. Say, Brother Tom, God's good. So he said, he might say, but I don't feel good. But we're going to feel good. We're two shall agree on anything going to happen. We're going to agree. You're going to feel better. See, we're going to have to help each other. And the thing that we need to help each other is right there in that book. That's the manual for everything. It's the manual for a Christian. He read you part of the manual this morning, taught on part of the manual this morning, and I'm into it real deep over my head this morning. This is the manual. Amen. Andy's a mechanic there. And if he's got a Dodge car, I don't know if he's got a Dodge or not, what is Ford? Or he's got a Ford. Now, if something tears up on that Ford, he ain't going to go get a Chevrolet manual to fix it, is he? That's what Christians do. Just any old thing, any kind of Bible. They got 40 different kinds of Bible. There ain't none that works but the King James Version. That's the only one that I've found where the power of God works through, where the Holy Ghost works through, where faith works through. Faith comes by hearing. Romans 10:17, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word, and that manifests itself, and that is the identity of it. The thief cometh not but for to steal, to kill, and to destroy, Jesus said. But I'm come that you might have life, and that you might have it more abundantly. And then it says in verse 11, and I'm quitting, I am the good shepherd. That's Jesus said that. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. He lays down everything, the shepherd. We don't give our life like he gave it, but we lay down our life, our life, our life. While every head's bowed,